Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the scary and ghoulish and absolutely terrifying Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. Welcome to the Watch What Crappens 2022 Spooktacular, featuring the scariest people you could ever imagine. The Real Housewives of Potomac. Or should I say, Potomac?
Dirty birds. Dirty birds. Ooh. That bird is trying to kill me, Ray.
It's scary.
The Real Housewives of Potomac. That's funny. It was kind of Saw-like. Like, we're going to put two of your legs together. Now get out of this miserable poor person event.
I know. We're stuffing you in a bag, and the only way out is if you hop a lot.
Your husband made me feel creepy, 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 creepy.
The only way that your husband will ever leave you is if he cuts off his balls. Vasectomy.
I wasn't invited to the potato sack race.
So Chris is back. He's back for revenge.
We brought Chris in just for his deep voice because it's a scary episode.
Who's going to share a potato sack with me?
Wow. Well, hi, everyone. So before we get into this Potomac episode, just a few things. First of all, you may have noticed our Winter House bonus episode has not gone up yet. That's because we were exhausted by the end of last week, and I was in Santa Fe with my parents, and we decided, you know what, let's just table it for Monday. So keep your ears open. The Winter House bonus episode recap will be up, and then we have Winter House later this week, too. We'll have two bonuses up this week since we didn't do any bonus episodes last week. So if you're wondering where the heck is that, it'll be there on Patreon. And by the way, come join us on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You get the bonus episodes, you get Crappens on demand, all that great stuff. Normally on Mondays, we have Take a Seat on Spotify Live, but we're not having it tonight because it's too scary of a night to take a seat. More like Take a Tombstone. I'm just going to do everything in Countess Luann voice. Would you believe it girls? It's the afterlife.
It doesn't even sound like Take a Seat at all. Just like Take a Skeleton, girls, am I right?
Take a Crypt, am I right, girls?
So that'll be back next Monday. Also, tomorrow we're going to be on NBC Boston. So if you guys are there, listen, we're going to be talking to Sue about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay, so go join us over there on NBC. Can you believe it, girls?
Can you believe it? We love Sue. I love Sue. She's just the best. So yeah, everyone go.
I love Sue too. And I was telling my dad, hey, it's so exciting. We're going to be on we're going to be on the news in Boston. Really? What channel? It's in Boston, Dad. Oh, okay. But what channel is it? NBC. I know, but what's their NBC? I said, I don't know. You mean the number of the channel? Yeah. I don't know, Dad. We don't get it here. So then he texts me three times. What channel is it on? Dad, it's in Boston, okay? You're going to fly to Boston? Like, thanks for the support, but can't watch it, okay?
Our parents are so similar. I say this as someone who just spent a weekend with my parents in New Mexico. But by the way, for those of you who do live in Boston, it's NBC 10. And it's also on NECN.
Oh, well, aren't you a good son?
Just tell your dad his real son knows the answers.
But what channel? Is it Netflix? Is it on Hulu? Is it on YouTube TV? No, Dad, you're not.
I swore I was going to come in this episode with all these hilarious stories about that my parents did in New Mexico. I was like, oh, everyone's going to love this story. And I can't remember a gosh darn single one of them. That altitude really does mess you up. Now I really understand what Kathy Hilton was going through.
I was smoking. Sorry. That was my good story. I was like, just was smoking.
Guys, you like my story about how I was going to tell stories? I don't have stories to tell.
Your non-story about stories. So here we are with Real Housewives of Potomac. Man, Robin's really making an effort this year. And last week I was like, oh my God, I love that Robin's making an effort this year. And this week I'm like, Robin, stop making such an effort, Robin, okay? It looks like effort. You know, it's like, have you ever had a friend who does macrame?
I made you this
pot holder thing, and you can put potted plants in it, and it can hang from your ceiling. And you're like, wow, that's so cool. You made it out of string. And then, you know, you're thinking, wow, what an effortless talent. And they're like, that took me 97 hours. And I'm like, well, I don't want it hanging in my house then. I don't want to see your 97 hours of effort. You know what I mean? So Robin is basically macrame right now to me.
Wait. Why does the effort make it worse? Is it a guilt trip?
Yeah, it just feels painful. Like it's too much for a rope thing that holds a plant. You know what I mean?
It's too much. I'm not into macrame, but I am into macabre-me. Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween from Countess and Friends.
Okay, so let's do this. Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yeah, and so I just want to clarify, Robin is the macrame of this franchise.
Yes, she's okay. Macrame. So, okay. Like, real pretty to look at, but ultimately, like, you could just put a pot on the table. You know what I mean?
You could just get a trivet.
You have some sway with the Bravo gods, because what you got this week? You got your taglines.
Thank you. Thank you.
So happy for you. That.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm happy for you.
I felt like it was actually a group effort, so I want to just thank the larger Crappens community for rallying behind this effort to get these taglines out here. But we do have them, and they're pretty good. So the first one is Giselle, who goes, I'm pretty, petty, and always sitting on ready.
And then,
nice rhyme scheme.
I didn't write who said these, so I have to guess who said these. Oh, this is Ashley. You may think you know my story, but there's always a plot twist. And then hers is just like little kids jumping around everywhere. I was like, that's not really a plot twist.
I feel like it's kind of generic.
Yeah, it's just some kids, you know? Yeah. Ooh, plot twist. I had kids. Like, oh, worst mystery ever.
Yeah. I didn't love that tagline. That was, to me, a cop-out. That was, they couldn't figure out anything, so they went to, like, the community pool that all the interns have made up, and they're like, okay, well, let's just slap this one on her. Then we have Robin, who says, when it comes to the truth, I always arrive on time.
I mean, and then macrame. That's macrame. That's what I'm saying. And then we get to Candace, who is now talking like she's won 10 Grammys. I don't know. She's got that kind of air about her now, where she's like, my vocals are clean, but my reeds are for filth.
I thought that was actually, I think, my favorite one of the new group. I think that was a pretty good one. Pretty good one.
Good line lane delivery.
Yeah. Yeah. But she definitely is starting to, like, She's starting to, like, talk with the confidence of an Anita Baker, you know?
Yeah, she's very shaky spear. Like, I don't need it.
And then Mia says, I may not remember everything, but you'll never forget me.
That's a very Mia line, isn't it? I may not remember everything, but you'll never forget things that I remember when things were like that. Mom.
Mom. That's her line. Should just been mom. Mom. I would love it if this wasn't even her line. If her line was something else. And then she's just like, they're like, no, that's not the right line. And she goes, well, I may not remember everything, but you'll never forget me. They're like, okay, we'll just use that. You'll just use that. Take that. Lock it in.
And then we get Wendy. I'm a Nigerian queen with no time for mean. But you got time to clean. You know what I mean? That's all I can think of in that rhyme is you got time to lean, you got time to clean. You can't rhyme queen, mean, and then not have me think clean. Okay? No waiter can sit through that line without feeling stress.
I was really hoping it was going to be more about having stuff on her plate. You know, we gave a lot of good plate options last week. And I like maybe like I'm plate for a very important date. Like I would have accepted that.
I would have accepted that too, especially since she did something evil and brought Peter back onto our televisions. It seems like a very Alice from Alice in Wonderland thing to do. Like, whoops, sorry, just broke into your house and brought Peter with me. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, sorry, just killed that friendly lizard who came to fix this situation. Sorry, and here's Peter.
Oh, okay, you go. This is the next one for you.
Okay. Like a three-wick, I burn slow and never waver.
Three wicks burn faster than one. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry to be the one to bring candle physics into this.
Yeah.
But three wicks burn faster, and guess what? Flames waver. Okay? Yeah. Flames literally waver. That's what they do. They move back and forth. They dance. Okay? A dancing flame, Karen. Karen's is my favorite because it's the most delusional Karen thing. You know? Just like a three wick, I burn slow and never waver.
I just think it's so strange to equate never wavering with a candle. It's just, it's not what I don't, it's like saying, just like a fresh glass of apple juice, I never waver. It's like, what? That's not what I look to for an example of wavering or not wavering, you know? And like you
three
said.
Three fires burn slower than one and water is solid as can be. Like, what? What are you even talking about, Karen? Dirty bird. Dirty, dirty bird.
Maybe she means an unlit three-wick candle. Like, maybe she just means one of her candles. They burn slow because they are rarely purchased, you know?
Just like a three-wick, I sit on a dollar shelf and never waver.
You know, when my candle went to battle with Wendy's candle, we called that a Warwick, a Dionne Warwick.
So we open with Wendy
everyone.
And Eddie.
I apologize. I'm sorry. No one needed to hear that.
Like a Dionne Warwick, I burn slower than five wicks, and you may not remember Mia, but you always remember Warwick. Hmm?
Keep burning, keep unwavering, knowing you're a candle's all I need for sure. That's what candles are for.
Nothing wavers more than the underarm fat I've injected into my boobies. I just love the idea of Karen's boobs waving at people because it's got the underarm jiggle in it now. Like the anti underarm jiggle, which I've got. I can say that.
So anyway, so we see Wendy and her family. They're at a field and the kids are playing football. Little Cameron's running around with a ball. And Eddie and Wendy are just talking. And Eddie's asking Wendy how she's doing. And she says that she met with Peter and, you know, that Peter's looking to open up another money trap slash restaurant and that he really likes her idea for a Nigerian restaurant slash children's library.
Yeah, he wants to open another restaurant and he liked my idea of Nigerian bar that's a children's library from 2 to 4 and the toddler opium den from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. So, you know, it's going to cost us about $300,000. She's like, no.
He's like, but she's like, no, but it's good because it's not like it's going to be 50-50 because, you know, it's going to be 20-80 because I don't have the bandwidth to be there every night. And he's like, yeah, so I'm glad you said the word bandwidth because I'm really trying to understand why you keep going down these paths, especially with someone like Peter Thomas. I mean, even I know about the guy and I barely watch Real Housewives.
Yeah, he's like, hello, Onye Home Essentials. And she's like, who? So here's the thing, Wendy. When someone is putting in 80% of the money and you're putting in 20% of the money, you're expected to give sweat equity, which means you put in less money, so you have to do more work. Am I the only person that's familiar with this concept? I don't understand her whole, I'm paying less, so I have to do less. I don't understand that. I think you have to pay, you have to do more.
I think that's, you only have to do more if you want to have a more active role in it, right? Otherwise, I think you're just like an investor, right? And I mean, Peter's going to probably make her do a lot more, for sure.
No one is going to want Wendy in that restaurant bossing people around, okay? Nobody. Nobody's going to want Wendy showing up there training waiters, you know?
No one's going to want Peter in that restaurant either. I mean, basically, it's just going to be a restaurant that no one wants anyone in.
Yeah, or no one's going to want to be in there. You see? It's like a warm hug, this restaurant. So yeah. She's like, bandwidth. And she's like, you know, all I'm trying to do is take opportunities when I see opportunities. Like, yeah, but that's not really seeing an opportunity. That's catching Peter when he's drunk and saying, I was thinking of opening a Nigerian bar, and him saying, I'll do that. And then you showing up the next day. That's not an opportunity. That's an opportunity to get robbed by Peter.
I think that she should take an opportunity. If she wants to take opportunities, the opportunity she should take is the opportunity to be discerning about her choices. You know, like, you don't have to like whore yourself out to every opportunity that comes your way. It's like walking down the street in Las Vegas. You'll get a lot of pamphlets, a lot of things handed to you, inviting you to various strip clubs and whorehouses and places of sin, but you don't have to go to them. You don't have to go to every
places
single one of them.
Places of ill repute. So also,
and haunted
really
houses. Happy Halloween.
And he's like, but at what cost to your health? And at what cost to me? Right. And she's like, well, I would never do anything or go into business with anyone without your support. Wait for it. Well, you've got enough on your plate. That's right. You've got enough on your plate right now.
I'm so used to them saying it. I didn't even notice that he said that. It's a lot on the plate. This buffet, she's been doing laps at that buffet. Girl, at some point you got to sit at the table and start eating.
So Wendy's so funny because he's like, okay, you know, look, I don't think you can have it all. I mean, who does, right? Beyond who? That's what I'm saying. Like, no one has it all, Wendy. And Wendy has just said, I would never do anything or go into business with anyone without your support. Her next line is, well, it's just a matter of if I decide to do this, and that's it. It's like, wow, you couldn't even wait till the end of the scene to add that one in there.
Yeah, exactly. So then she pivots to talking about Robin, and she talks about how at the TikTok dance class, she's like, afterwards, it got real messy. And, you know, I was talking to Ashley one-on-one about her thoughts on Mia, what she thought about plates. Does she like plates? Large, small, oval-shaped, circular-shaped, square-shaped, recessed, beveled, all that stuff. And I was talking in a calm voice, and then Robin pops up and is screaming at me.
And then, to put the nail in the coffin, Robin just pops out of the coffin.
Happy Halloween!
She invited everyone and their children to a family haunted house day, except for us and our kids. And then, you know, that wasn't very nice. And Eddie's like, oh, yeah. She's like, fuck the kids, huh? Yeah. And she was like, fine, I'll be the bad guy. And then she whipped out a saw gun. What do you call those? Chainsaw gun.
I'm gonna make a mask of your skin. Happy Halloween.
I'm wearing you to field day.
Happy Halloween. So then Robin and her kids and Juan are outside at the graveyard or their backyard, and they're practicing for field day, even though field day or family fun day ultimately has no form or structure or like any sense of anything, but they're going to practice for it regardless, and they're in their potato sacks getting ready to, you know, get good at hopping around.
Yeah, Juan's like, what are you doing? She's like, we're getting a leg up on the competition tomorrow. And she rips off her leg and just starts beating him with it.
Like, oh, Halloween episode now. Is sick. It was disturbing, this episode.
So, most of our kids are on spring break, and I realized we never really get together with our kids, so I thought, why not family fun day? I'm sorry, I'm stubborn, I'm petty, and I'm just not in that place with Wendy, but I don't have anything against her kids.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
Yeah, so Robin's like, okay, so Juan, we should follow your lead because you are a professional, because we're trying to win and you're a world class athlete. And then their kid is like, you're a world class bench player.
And then they learn, like most adults, that potato sack races are fucking hard. Okay, they're not easy.
That's plyometric exercise. It's excessive. It's like squats. Horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. So then it's also a very poor, dirty vegetable. You know, like I love a potato, but I don't want to be in the wrapping of a potato. You know, it's just dirt. So then they're just talking to themselves while the kids run around. And she's like, you know, I thought it would be fun to play flag football. Basically, people wear a flag and then you run up behind them and rip their faces off and make a baseball cap out of it. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Happy Halloween.
So she says that she was intending to invite everyone, but, you know, Wendy sucks, so she doesn't want Wendy to come. But I don't want anyone to think I'm intentionally leaving her kids out, so I came up with something that works for me. I'm going to sneak into their house in the middle of the night with a kitchen knife, dismember them, throw them into the trunk, and then into a potato sack.
And failing that, I decided I'm going to call Candace and ask her to play auntie, a scary auntie, and she's going to abduct the children in the middle of the night and force them to family fun day. Ooh.
And Juan's like, wow, that's how you compromise, Robin. What the fuck are you guys talking about? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're not invited, but your kids can come to the place where all the other kids are going to be like, your mom's not invited. She's a real bitch, huh?
Yeah, thanks a lot. That was a terrible idea. Terrible.
Stupid Robin.
So Wendy's like,
that's a dang bad idea even for Robin. I still can't believe her. Sorry, I'll stop.
No, you're right. So Wendy's like, it hit my feelings because those are my kids. I don't play with my kids, okay? Play with everyone else. And at this point, Cameron over here keeps hearing her say, I don't play with my kids. So she's like, play with me. Play with me.
She's like, maybe you didn't hear me, but I don't play with my kids. So go away. She just ignores Cameron. So then back to Robin. She's like, yeah, that dance class was a shit show. You have Wendy and I arguing. Then Candace storms off. Then two skeletons came in and started doing a kick line. And Juan's like, oh my God, what's going on with Candace? And she's like, well, you know, Ashley got that DM from Chris. And then I told Giselle what happened. And Giselle said, oh, well, that reminds me of a time Chris pulled me into a room in New Jersey.
And then tried to chop my head off. It was a room of horrors.
So then Eddie hears this from Wendy, and she's like, oh my God, now they're going to come after Chris, the guy that made them dinner. She goes, yeah, the guy that made them dinner. The quesadilla guy. Yeah, the quesadilla guy. The men who cook can't also make people feel uncomfortable. None of this makes sense. A man who cooked for them? This is impossible.
I mean, look at Mario Batali. Look, he never made anyone feel... Oh, you know what? Never mind. Never mind.
I just love this running theme on here.
Yeah.
Everybody's reaction is, wait, didn't Chris cook them dinner before?
I know. They keep saying that. Like, he used a premium ingredient. He used duck in those quesadillas. He can't possibly make someone feel
uncomfortable. I should have known when he served me a dirty chicken.
I call those ducks water chickens. So Juan is like, why didn't she tell Candace when it happened? Why didn't Giselle tell Candace? And Robin's like, I don't know. Do you think Chris should speak to Giselle? Does he owe her an apology? And Juan's like, well, I would, especially if she told Candace she was uncomfortable. Robin, we're outside. You can't do your haunted house voice. These walls are haunted. We're outside, Robin. That's odd.
So Robin calls Candace to, you know, do this. Will you ask her if she'll send her kids to come? And Candace just answers the phone like, good Lord, you all. Why are you all calling me? And she's like, it's important, Candace. She says, is it jail? Is somebody in a jail? So she says, no, I need you to put on your auntie hat and call Wendy and tell her you want her take her kids to my family fun day.
And Candace is like, well, I'm 99% sure Wendy's going to tell me to go to hell. Hell! We're the home! It's the realm of the devil! Happy Halloween! Yes, as I was saying, to hell. And then tell me and Robin to go to hell, to the hell that's underneath that one. See, Robin, now you could have done your thing after I was done with my sentence, because I actually had two hells in my sentence, but you were too quick to go for a joke.
Robin's out of hells. She's just sitting there staring at the phone like, oh no, I'm out of hell things.
Two hells? That's scary.
She's like literally sitting there holding a potted plant. Okay, so then we go to Karen's house. Karen is going through her fridge. Okay, now look. People are mad that Karen's wasting chicken. You know, I've been reading the internet. They're like, how dare you? I get it. My question is more like, how many chickens do you have in there? I mean, she's clearing chicken out of her fridge, but there's like 20 containers of chicken. Like, how much chicken were you planning to eat?
Yeah, they were about to make like 10 casseroles for the community. What was happening there? It was a lot of those little plastic things just gone. I mean, give them to your neighbors for crying out loud. You're right. I didn't even think about that.
But I mean, the whole scene was her pulling up more chicken from somewhere. She's like pulling them out of her bra. Oh, I found one here as well. Chicken, daddy bear. And throwing them away. So first she talks to Ray Ray. And I didn't understand this line when I wrote it. But her first line is, Ray is going to kill me for doing this, but this is dirty. I was like, she's just throwing away chicken. What is she talking about?
Dirty. Now bird. I finally understand that Christina Aguilera song. Dirty. Gonna get dirty. It was written about chickens all this time.
She's just standing there with an axe like Kathy Bates from Misery. Dirty bird! You little dirty bird!
I can't believe you killed those characters, dirty bird! So she's there sledgehammering the chicken's ankles. And she FaceTimes Raven. And she's like, oh, you look like a supermodel. What the hell? You look like an anti-chicken, something beautiful and gorgeous.
And she tells us, you know, I'm here cleaning out. Well, she's telling Raven, I'm here cleaning out the fridge because I'm allergic to chicken. They call it the dirty bird. Did you know that, Raven? She's like, oh, Jesus, Mom, I've only got 5 more minutes left on lunch. Okay.
I know.
Hope you're not eating chicken, Raven. And she tells us, well, I think turning 5'9" is just a number after all, eh? So I plan on living a very long time. So I actually did go to a doctor to find out what my digestion could digest.
Yes, and when she tested me for chicken, I said, give me that chicken test. I feel like something's wrong. And so she tested me for chicken, a.k.a. the dirty bird, and I failed miserably. It is a traumatized bird, and we're putting it in our bodies, and no thank you, I may absorb that chicken trauma. I already feel like I might be a chicken that saw someone else eat its corn seed on the floor. It's dramatic. I feel it in my bones.
I just don't want to absorb any chicken drama. So Raven's like,
inside me, I feel the trauma of being in a coop and having to assemble some sort of little plane to escape out of it for freedom.
You were watching Chicken Run recently, weren't you?
Yes, I was. A very traumatic story. They call it the Schindler's List of the chicken genre.
Raven's like, well, I'm on a health journey too, Mom. I have to learn how to cook. Just, do you even own a pan, Raven?
She's like, I have to be honest, I don't.
Oh, Raven, pans. You have to have a pan, Raven.
And, Karen's very proud of Raven because Raven made it to the Met Gala at 24. I'm wondering the context of that photo. I mean, very cool for Raven, but Karen was making it sound like Raven was a guest at the Met Ball. And I feel like there is more to the story. I feel like she probably was not a guest.
Yeah, like interning somewhere for something. And so she's like, well, we need to get on this healthy journey as a family. And we all have to pull Dad in with us on that. Now, let's talk about fake boobs. Your father is afraid you're going to get fake boobies because mine keep waving at the neighbors. So, Raven, do you want fake boobies? I'll pay for them. I told him, you are ridiculous, Ray. Why are you worried about that?
She won't have fake boobs until she's ready to have fake boobs. Raven, are you ready for fake boobs now that you've been on the Met Gala red carpet with your tiny, tiny little pebbles?
I've got samples right here for you to look at.
You know, Raven, I really want you to get some. Raven, it's very important for me that you get some fake boobs, because otherwise you know what you have to put into your bra. Chicken cutlets! We will not allow dirty birds in your cups.
So, Raven's like, well, maybe he should have told you before your boobs were done that he didn't like fake boobs. And she's like, that's making too much sense, Raven. All right, well, get a pen and sketch out your new boobs and call me back. All right.
Mom. Residual trauma.
Residual trauma. I just laid breakfast. I've got to go, Raven.
Sorry, I just had trauma of being out in the rain on a farm in Surrey County, and it took a long time to get back into the coop. I had wet feathers. Trauma.
So then we see shots of Potomac, which I love. And I like the one that features the sign that says, radar detectors illegal. It's like, jeez. It's a real playground over there.
Well, that's, I can't believe that they would ban my... my future son with Ray, as we all know, his name would have been a combination of Raymond and Lamar Radar. Sorry, I went a long way for that joke. Long way for that joke. I thought it would come easily, considering I have a daughter named Raven. Thought Radar would come easily. It didn't come easily. I apologize. It was the chicken trauma.
So we go over to Ashley's house, and she's, you know, cleaning up, and she's picking little tiny animal bones up off the floor like, oh, my gosh, Dean, I'm playing with the animals again.
Happy Halloween!
And then there's
a, Robin Halloween.
There's a knock at the door, and it's a lady named Auntie. So, man, we're not escaping the Auntie theme today. It's in every scene now.
Yeah, her name is, I believe it's Auntia, but spelled like A-U-N-T-E-A, and it's really hard not to call her Auntie or Auntie.
Doesn't she call her Auntie?
I thought she said Auntia.
Oh, I thought she was saying Auntie.
No, I think
I was like, that name like forces you into like a caring role, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, her name is Auntie. She's so unsupportive. Like, really? God, no. Aunties are always have hugs and gum. You know,
hugs and gum. So yeah, Auntia is there. Auntia is Ashley's publicist, but more importantly, she's also kind of like her homegirl, and she's been there through the ups and the downs. And the example of the down, well, I think it's supposed to be an example of an up, but I think it was an example of the down is when Ashley sang her coffee and sex song at that like random festival off in the suburbs. So
it's funny how sad it is 5 years later still. You know, some things you recover from, it's like time heals everything. Not that, apparently.
Not bad.
Apparently,
yeah, not flat
coffee.
Notes.
Yeah, that song still hurts after all this time. Also, Ashley's falling into the trap of friend ploys, where she doesn't have anyone in her life to talk to that she doesn't pay. And it's a very Erica Jane thing, but this is the second time, right? Was her other friend her employee, too?
No, the other friend just had employee energy, but she was, I think, from like a mommy group. Yeah, she was
okay,
from a mommy
group.
Okay,
so I rescind it. It was just employee energy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they're talking about Ashley going through this transition and everything, and she's just saying like that they're writing a statement, that they're going to be writing a statement or releasing a statement just in case on the offhand possibility that Michael, or a resident Halloween creep show, might decide to date someone. Just in case he might want to. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I just want him to have his freedom so he can go to the strip club if he wants to, you know?
Yeah. And she's like, you know, this is the new statement. Okay. So, as you know,
Michael and I have been more than married couple. We have been life partners.
And then we get a cut of,
if you mess with me, this restaurant will go down. It will go under.
And then it cuts back to her.
Well, this is a mutual decision, even though we love each other very much.
Apparently, when I was in that bedroom with the stripper just trying to fix a light bulb, she snapped a picture of me and it got on the internet. Yo, me, I'm on the internet.
Yeah. And then she's like,
no, well, our romantic bond is broken. We also know true happiness can only be achieved by continuing to work together and putting our hearts and souls into raising our two beautiful boys and welcoming the return of Cthulhu. Happy Halloween.
I like when she said, raising our boys, it cuts to him going, let's have a bachelor party in Vegas.
I mean, that was the spookiest part of the episode, of every episode when they show that. I mean, they don't need anything else. It was like, oh, this is a Halloween episode. Got it.
Yeah. So her friend is like, now you have to be realistic because the trolls are going to troll. So they're going to pick up a story and say, you know, things you're not going to like. They compare Michael to Gollum, or they call him a sexual assaulter after the cameraman thing, or, you know, just basically a terrifying human being with one eye half closed. A dog that needs to be put down. Okay, you can stop listing all the things the internet calls him now.
A less sexy Frankenstein, Chewbacca after a haircut, Mumra out of the bandages.
One of my favorite things said here, this headline, Hellraiser was hotter.
It's like Hellraiser, but Hellraiser got the pins taken out. Freddy Krueger face. Freddy Krueger after a visit to the derma.
Thumb that's been submerged in water for 45 minutes.
Haunted house in human form.
A thin minion. They were calling him Thinion for a while. That was cute.
For a moment, we thought they said Thin Mint, and we thought, well, that's nice. That's a good one. It was Thinion. We saw when we figured it out. It was rough.
Every dead old white guy in Game of Thrones. That was a good one. Yeah.
The teeth from the poster of Smile. He's just the teeth of that.
So they decide they're going to do this next week. They're going to put out this statement, right? So then we go to Robin's and, well, actually, we just get a little cut of Robin saying, I'm not going to talk to Wendy, but I extended an invitation to her kids. So if it's really about the kids, then we'll see. I said, send your kids if you dare.
It's an escape field. Well, Robin, you can escape from a field pretty easily. Oh, never mind. Send your kids. Yeah. By the way, I don't like Robin trying to bust Wendy on this. Like, if it's really about the kids, then you would send the kids. Well, no. If it's really about the kids, you would invite Wendy, actually.
Yeah, Robin, you don't get to do that. This is not your TV show, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Giselle and Grace are driving over, and Grace is like, where are we going? And she's like, to the park. I think we're going to have family fun day, okay? I hope everyone's ready for fun, because that's what we're supposed to have.
Grace looks so unenthused. She was just the slowest child. The other two were faster and were able to get away before being dragged to family fun day. I mean, she's like a teenager. She's like 17 or 18. And it's like kids, little kids bouncing around in potato sacks. Why does Grace want to be here?
Yeah. There's something about twins. You know, they have each other to back each other up. They're like, no. I mean, that's two no's. That's solid no's, you know? No one fucks with twins. So me and Gordon arrive with their, or they're driving over with their kids. And Mia's like, hey, kids, Juliana, Jeremiah, are you excited about the park? Don't answer. I don't really care. How are you feeling, Gordon?
Yeah, and the kid's like, oh my God, it's a castle. No, that's the Mormon church. What, mommy? It's the Mormon church. What? Mormon church? What? Mormon church? Mormon church?
It's the Mormon church. There's no business like God. Business like no business.
There's no sin like caffeine sin.
Caffeine sin. So they drive past the Mormon church, and she's like, doesn't it look like Disney World? And she tells us, as a kid, I would drive by, wait for it, with my auntie. Because that's in every scene, okay? I drove through with my auntie, and I would always say, I'm going to SeaWorld!
Love that Mia's just always been fucking delusional, you know? Mia's a little kid, just always thought the Mormon church was SeaWorld.
Yeah, she's has a long history of delusion.
And now I'm on a healing journey. Sorry, that's just what you do when you leave the Mormon church, and it was behind us now.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, so Gordon is just nodding because he's bored. And so then Mia makes this crazy, not crazy, but she just makes this pivot from talking about, oh, her auntie, you know, would, when she'd drive through, she would always think it was, or her stepmom would drive her through and she thought it was Disney or SeaWorld. And she's like, and then she pivots that to, well, I've always had positive women in my life. It just so happens that the one that gave birth to me is not. And I will tell you that ever since the conversation with Auntie, Mom and I are so good. I'm like, wow, you really took this like light comment about Disney into someplace dark real quickly.
Hey, kids, doesn't that look like SeaWorld? Let's talk about what an asshole my mom was again. So she's like, yeah, you know, I wish Auntie had told me sooner because now we're good. Like, she knew my mom before drugs and before she became addicted. And she said that when people start using drugs, that's when their maturity stops.
Yeah, she's like, so she's basically in her 20s and 30s now. And, you know, when I had this, it was a big eye-opener. And because it's not that she doesn't love me. It's because she unfortunately is suffering from a disease. I'm like, Mia, I mean, I'm a little sad for Mia that she only just kind of had this realization just now, but I understand it. She is the, you know, as the daughter, she's in the thick of it. But she's like, I told my auntie, I wish you could have told me this 20 years ago. My auntie said, I did try to call you. And then you said, oh no, the call is coming from inside the house. Happy Halloween.
So Gordon's like, okay, well, how's Candace doing? And she's like, well, I haven't said a word to that child. What am I going to say? I said, hi, ladies. And maybe she put herself in the group with the ladies. And I guess I'm fine with that. And then we get a clip of them just ignoring each other. Both of them, like, looking in opposite directions at the
Spring Fling Family Ding Dong, a Dirty Bird competition of spring party.
Yeah. So then they arrive at this field, and it's like lots of hugs, and Mia's just like looking around and saying like, you know, Robin is pretty regular, so I wasn't expecting a whole lot. Can I sing that?
Because this party is nothing, okay? It's a park. There's no drinks. There's no snacks. There's no little gold medals that you can win. There is nothing, okay? There's just the park and Robin.
And there's like, three chafers. There's like three chafers covered in foil and like a little table that has a tablecloth that's like not even held down. So the cloth is basically like blown up from the wind around the chafers. So it's just like the most low rent Robin event you could imagine.
So then, let's see, people start arriving and Mia's like, hey, Robin, is Juan here? And she's like, no, Juan's not here. Your own husband didn't come to this? Come on.
He's not allowed to come to events that are in sunlight. Ooh.
He would literally get a root canal than be here.
Oh, so where is he?
Getting a root canal.
Wow, he really stuck to that one, huh?
So is he like riding a gondola? In between trees, what is a root canal?
Okay, Mia, enough with you. So, anyway, more people are arriving. Giselle's like, family fun day, family fun day, what is happening, what is this, I'm sad,
So Karen comes and she's like, oh, these allergies. Girl, you have us out here in the cold.
Karen, why are you, what are you picking up off the grass with your teeth?
Looking for seed. Looking for seed.
The trauma is within me.
There's just like more like chatter. Jacqueline shows up with her husband, Patrick. And then Giselle's like, wait, Jacqueline, I thought you said you were divorcing. And she's like, oh, yeah, we're not together. He's my pee-pee, my parenting partner. And Giselle's like, I'm very confused. I thought pee-pee was small penis. Don't even want that. I thought pee-pee was like pee-pee, like
urine.
Pee, urine.
Or Planned Parenthood. Or I mean, really, I'm not sure. I am sure of this, though. Giselle wants very clearly defined lines in marriage and divorce. Okay, yeah. So good luck with that one, Jacqueline.
Seriously.
So Candace texts, I forgot to tell you that Wendy declined your invitation. And Robin's like, oh, God, so I guess it's not about the kids. It's not about the kids. Wow, you really got her, Robin.
I'm going to do? I'm going to lay a trail of breadcrumbs leading right to my oven for Wendy's kids. Ooh, happy Halloween.
Karen, let's see. So, Robin, so Wendy, sorry, I need to scroll down in my notes. So, Wendy's like, I appreciate my girl Candace, but everyone knows a mother is not going to let her kids go with someone else. It's like, well, you just put the school bus system out of commission.
Well, so then, Robin is saying that Ashley and Candace are going to be a little late. So, they're going to start this. I don't know why I wrote that down. Guys, just so you know, Robin told everyone that the other people are going to be late. So then Karen's like, well, this is not okay. This is absolutely not okay. Karen, why are you running away? Because I was startled. I have chicken trauma. I run frantically.
This is about the children. And Robin's like, well, I said, Ashley, why don't you reach out to her and invite the kids? Well, you should be bigger than that.
Well, I'm not. I'm petty.
It's about the kids. Those babies should be here. Look at my babies. I have 6 little eggs right next to me that I brought. Those are mine. And I expect y'all to behave better when I'm not around. I can take a sick day.
Robin? Put away that brioche, Robin. This is not breakfast.
You said that you brought eggs.
They're my babies. So, Karen's like, yeah, that's bullshit. You know, she's not. No one's gonna send their kids to an event that they're not invited to. That's crazy, right? Yeah. So then they start playing. They split into teams, and everybody starts playing. And of course, Robin's just kind of standing there, like, okay, we could play the potato sack ring toss, put your legs together, checkers game. It's like, Robin, we need more specific instructions. Okay, just turn to your partner and bite off part of their cheek and spit it out. That's capable. Fear, Robin.
Hey, kids, I want you to all gather around. I'm going to tell a scary story for Halloween. One time, on a cold and rainy family fun day, all the children of the neighborhood were playing potato sack races and three-leg races, and everyone was having a fun time. And then there was a stump, and another stump, and another stump, and guess what arrived? The scariest monster of all Potomac. Sha-sha!
Tha-tha! Just comes like by on an invisible hoverboard.
Fee-fi-fo-fum, who ate my balance bar? I'm trying to eat a little healthier, I'll be honest. So it really disturbs me when people eat my balance bar.
So Karen sees her and she's like, like, what is wrong with Karen?
Karen has an allergic reaction to Shasha. She just like, she starts coughing, hyperventilating, doing all the things.
Putting on a mask.
Yeah. Oh, I should have a mask on right now.
That's the first, I think, mask diss we've seen on Housewives, where a real housewife sees someone they don't like comes in and puts on a mask, like, yeah, to keep themselves healthy.
That's a big first in the Housewives pantheon.
So she's like, Robin, I don't know how long I'm going to last here. I'm no spring. So they do potato sack races, and Mia can't fit her butt into the potato sack. Like, Mia's terrible. She can't hop. Yeah. And Giselle's like, Mia, girl, this isn't for you. Half your new booty don't fit, honey.
Also, when Mia's hopping, she's like, like, whoa, Mia, that's like us kids here and little eggs, okay? So come on now.
So then Karen and Mia walk off to have private time. And Karen's like, oh, I have a respiratory infection. I shouldn't have even been here. What am I doing here? And Mia's like, lift your arms for me. Oh, my God, nice boobs. So you got boobs put under your arms? Well, it was a replacement therapy, actually.
Wow, that's very impressive, I have to say.
Thank you for helping me, because I have my doctor prescribed me with shasha-itis. It's a complete intolerance for shasha and chicken. It's terrible, dirty birds, both of them.
I need to go to the car. I'll text you all later. Gordon, would you walk me to the car, Gordon? So they walk off, and Giselle's like, Thatha, did you speak, though? And she's like, no, she doesn't like me. And Robin's like, yeah, she was just doing that to get away from you.
So then Giselle's like, well, I said, why don't you speak to Charissa? And then she said, whoa, as if, who, I mean, not whoa, but she said, who, as if she didn't even know your name, ma. And then we see a flashback of literally that conversation. Kara's like, who?
I'm sorry, who was that? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. Charisse? Is that a type of a soap? A new detergent I should be using? Charissa?
Are you wearing a feather bracelet? No, those have just started growing. I'm not really sure why. So then Charisse is like, oh, yeah, I have that effect on people these days. So then they do a three-legged race, and Robin's kids figure out that if they lift the legs that are tied together, they can hop faster on just two legs. They're very smart. Everyone calls them cheaters, but no, y'all are just stupid. They should win this whole thing for being smarter than everybody else here, okay?
I thought they were calling Candace and Robin cheaters because their little, the thing that was tying their legs together fell off and they just started running. But I don't know. I wasn't really paying too much attention to the actual
I didn't sports. Even see that part. So there
oh, that
you
was
go.
Happening. Yeah, probably when you were doing your notes, but as you were writing that the other stuff down, you probably
no, it's these, down it's these like fun time scenes, you know? Like, yeah. Oh, look at us. We're playing soccer. I'm like, call me, you know, I'll clock in later.
Cry more.
Cry more.
I want pain. I want suffering. That's what you call a family fun day.
Yeah. So then Candace comes and she's, you know, moody, basically. Yeah. And she's like, well, Giselle is here and she can kiss the blackest part of my ass. And Robin's like, you missed the whole relay race, Candace.
Yeah, because Candace comes in and she says hi to everyone, including a huge hello to Grace. She goes, hi, Grace. But she just does not say anything to Giselle. So Giselle's like, Candace, you've come and spoken to everyone here but me. You're taking this too far, sweetie. You just tell your husband, don't ask me to go into private rooms.
So then Charisse is talking to her, and she's like, so, how are you? Because when I last saw you, you weren't happy. And she's like, true. Some people are just desperate to say anything for attention, so they'll make up the most heinous lies just for attention. And Mia's sitting there acting like she's sitting on a park bench with a newspaper pulled up over her face, like she's just getting this top secret information.
Yeah. And then everyone starts playing limbo, and there's like limbo, limbo. And then Ashley and her kids arrive, and Giselle's like, hi, Dina. And Dean's like, get out of my face, you crazy faced hooker. I'm cranky. And then, it was a long ride, and I ran out of juice boxes. Get out of my face right now.
And then Ashley falls in limbo and her little baby starts crying. It's like, ah, mother, come back to me, mother. Don't leave me like this.
Not the limbo game again, mother. Not now.
All right, everybody, it's your turn to play limbo. You're going to bend backwards, and then you're not going to know whether you're in heaven or in hell.
So anyway, Mia is asking her about the separation. And she's like, are you guys separating because it's a mutual agreement? Or are you separating because someone took a sword and sliced your bodies apart, therefore separating your corporeal entities? Happy Halloween.
Mia's just doing a magic show on Halloween.
Her Halloween's like a little, you know, she gets it most.
Everyone else is terrifying, but Mia's just like, look, I have a rabbit and a hat.
No, I'll show you. Are you guys separating because it's mutual or because someone took a chainsaw to your head? Ooh, happy Halloween.
So Ashley's like, well, he's not fighting me at all. And today was difficult, not going to lie, because today Michael had his vasectomy.
And Mia's like, was it planned? No, Mia, he fell on it. Okay, he was walking down the street. He fell on a penis snipper. What do you think?
Wait a second. There was a real disemboweling on our Halloween episode.
And Ashley's like, no, he thinks I'm trying to like get pregnant. And Mia goes, what? And she goes, yeah, that's one of the reasons I haven't been able to be intimate with him, because he thinks I'm just trying to keep him in there a little longer so I can get pregnant.
Well, I mean, you know, even a broken clock is right. How many times a day is a broken? Twice a day.
Unless you're in the Twilight Zone.
That's so sad. That is so sad that was the issue with their intimacy, was that he was afraid of being locked down with more kids like that. I mean, So yeah, the producer said, so why did that vasectomy make you sad? And she's like,
I don't know, it's silly, but knowing that it would be biologically impossible to have more children with a disgusting man it's a little sad that I can't see. I've just always wondered, like, what would it be like to have sex with this swamp thing? And I've done it twice now, and I just kind of want to go for the hat trick. That's all.
So Mia's like, well, she probably should have had two more before she dumped his ass. Check one, check two.
And then we see a shot of her two kids, which is so shady. She goes,
check three, check four, let's go. But Michael got a vasectomy because he doesn't want illegitimate children running around. Oops, did I just say that?
She's just doing off-brand Urkel. So Mia's like,
well, Michael hasn't done anything to you, right? Right? And she's like, no.
And Jacqueline's like, well, why leave if he hasn't done anything to you? I'm like, Jacqueline, have you seen Michael? Do you need him to do anything to you?
And Ashley's like, because he wanted to do a threesome, and we used to do threesomes, but I don't want to do threesomes anymore. And Mia goes, wait, he asked you that recently? And she goes, yeah, December. And Jacqueline's like, oh, been there, done that. Mine wanted me to do that all the time. He said it would spice things up. So Ashley's like, oh, are you bisexual? She goes, well, I'm just attracted to people. I wouldn't say bisexual. Pansexual? Well, just, you know, basically roast sexual, pan roast sexual.
Excuse me, did someone say that they're selling a pan of some sort? Because my daughter needs one. No?
Pansexual? I'll tell you what, I won't be cooking in that. Any dirty birds?
So, Robin's like, okay, everybody, thank you for coming to this non-event event. Bye! And so Ashley's now kind of talking to Candace, and it's kind of awkward still. And she's like, so did you have egg retrieval? Well, I told Karen I wanted to have egg retrieval, and she said to keep my hands off of her children and then sped away. So I'm not really sure.
And then Candace is saying that the IVF is not taking. Her follicles are not responding quickly enough, and she's she's bummed about the whole IVF process, and she feels lost, like she's in purgatory.
Oh, purgatory is that place in between heaven and hell. What, one of the hells? I only have one hell material.
So Ashley's like, it's not a failure. You just have to regroup. You're not a failure as a mother. You're not. I put you in my journal. I put baby dust on you.
And Candace is like, what is that? Is that witchcraft?
And she's like, no, you do sprinkles. You know, you just sprinkle positivity in journals.
And Candace is like, do your sprinkles. That's good. Just don't do voodoo on me. If Jesus ain't there, then I'm not sure of what it is. So, Ashley's like, you're going to be a great mom. And we all just like wait for Ashley to add like a JK or something.
Yeah. So now
look under Rowling in the library.
Something like something there.
So now it's 14 hours later, and we're ding 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 ding. And Ashley's driving, and her phone is all sorts of notifications are coming up, and so news of her separation from Michael has leaked, and it's on all the headlines, on all the blogs, on all the websites. And Ashley's like,
I have no idea who could have said anything. My circle is pretty small for a reason.
Ashley, like, you're filming a TV show.
Yeah.
Literally hundreds of people know this information. So she calls her friend and she's like, oh my God, have you seen it? And she's like, yes, I'm so stressed out. Our planned day didn't work on this huge political news. This is crazy. The world. I'm like, oh my God, Ashley, no one is surprised you're splitting from your fucking creepy ass husband. I know. This is so weird.
No, I wasn't talking about my husband. I was saying, have you seen the ring? You only have 7 days to live after you see Michael's cock ring. Ah, happy Halloween.
That's too gross even for a Halloween episode. Too far, too far. Oh, that explains why Michael's penis crawled through my TV this afternoon.
So it's like West Wing in the car. Her friend's like, well, the good thing is, it just happened today, so there's room to release a statement today. We shouldn't wait. We need to get ahead of this. And Ashley's like, I know, we talked about this happening, but I wanted to be in charge of the time. I can't reach Michael. I can't reach Michael either. It's going to voicemail. And then I got that dong, 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 dong. The Verizon voicemail customer service. Oh, my God, they cut it off in Russia. They cut it off in Russia.
Okay, you guys, calm yourselves.
And then my Jiffy Pop went off, and it was very scary, and there was a dead person outside the window.
So,
we have to do something. He did approve this statement, though, before. He didn't know it was going to go out today, but he approved it.
Well, I should talk to him first. What should I do? Should I post it without his permission? I have no idea what to do. I'd love to wait for a Friday.
I was like, what are you, reporting to Politico on a Friday? What the fuck are you talking about?
The story is gonna die because it's a Friday. Come on now. And so this story apparently broke while Michael was on a flight to Vegas, which I think the timing of that was a little suspicious. I wonder, like, maybe someone from Ash's camp released it when Michael could not be available. Was it that? Also, are we just gonna discount the fact that Michael has a whole group of people that also could have leaked it? Maybe Michael's team leaked it when he couldn't be available to be reached. So, I don't know.
To me, it's just hilarious that it's this huge piece of leakable information that everybody's so worried about the timing. Like, it's going to make a difference, you know? Everyone knows who Michael is. Give me a break.
I mean, she's talking about it with people. She doesn't even know someone like Jacqueline. She's talked about it with so many strangers already up on this season, and then she's shocked that it gets leaked.
Yeah.
Beyond just the fact that production could have leaked it very easily.
Well, I'm just worried because now he's going to be mad at me and it's going to cause so much drama, and I think I might be pregnant with a satanic devil.
Blood starts spurting all over the car. And then that brings us to the end of our Halloween Real Housewives of Potomac episode.
Oh, so spooky. I have chills going up and down my spine, Ronnie. Wow. Well, it was both a trick and a treat.
So, I hope everyone who is not allergic to chicken has a very safe and lovely Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone. I am now 95% Dirty Bird.
And Yeah, so we'll be
back.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.